Welcome to our newest edition of Laurier News at Noon. It is Wednesday, November 24th, and welcome to the show.
Yep. Excuse me. So today we're going to be discussing all our news, as always, from Kitchener, Waterloo, Canada in general, and internationally. So I can start us off with kind of a funny story that I read this morning. Apparently, students from Forest Heights Collegiate Institute in Kitchener are no longer allowed to enter the Highland Plaza during school hours because of some recent incidents. And obviously, I'm sure the kids are probably really annoyed about that because a couple people said, oh, they go there for breaks, like to get food and so on. But now if they're at the property of the plaza during school hours, they pretty much get kicked off. And if they don't leave, then they're accused of trespassing.
What'd they do?
So apparently there was like a few incidents of people like popping tires and shoplifting. And so I guess because of the actions of a few, like many people have to suffer because that's not really acceptable. But yeah, this decision is supposed to remain in effect till the new year. But it's completely instituted by the property management of the plaza, not by the school board itself.
Wow, that's rough. That is super rough.
Yeah.
Oh no.
That kind of reminds me of something that happened at home where it was like I went to a store with my friends like in the plaza after school, but we were in uniform. And the lady said, oh, sorry, we don't allow students in here in their uniform. And I was like, why? Like, I'm here to buy something. I'm here to, like, give you business. Like, why would you not allow? But now that I read this, that's probably why. Like, they probably had some incidents of people, like, stealing. So.
Yeah, that's pretty extreme. But I guess you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah.
Wow. And that's in Kitchener, right?
Yeah, Kitchener.
Wow. Kitchener kids are wilding out these days. Wow. Okay. I have a story that's kind of interesting.
Sure.
So have you ever heard of Lush Cosmetics?
Yes.
Like the bath bombs and whatnot. So basically they've deactivated all their social media accounts from Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and Snapchat.
Really? Why?
And they're basically because the CEO, this is a quote. He said, "There is now overwhelming evidence we're being put at risk when using social media," and he's basically just saying how it's dangerous and he doesn't support the algorithms and whatnot.
Yeah.
So,
just removed the company entirely.
Yeah, the only things they're active on are Twitter and YouTube, which are still social media, but I guess they're like less, whatever, less.
Wow.
Yeah. So if you're looking.
Their marketing department is punching the air right now.
No, I think it's kind of, I don't know if it's smart, but like I support it because I feel like, yeah, I agree. Instagram and Snapchat.
Like I see where he's coming from, but at the same time, like, it's not, I don't know. I don't know how well that's going to work for him as a business because, like, excuse me, every business kind of needs social media nowadays, you know? Like, if you're not there, you're missing out on a lot.
Yeah, no, it is a strong, it's an interesting move, yeah. It might not benefit them financially, but hey, from a moral standpoint, I guess it's probably good, but like I get, then again, yeah. It's like who's going on Lush like Instagram and like being like damn it.
Because I mean, the idea of because I think he's probably referring to the fact that like social media is designed to be addictive and like designed to be echo chambery, but at the same time, I wonder if it's like something that will make him more profitable because if you think about it, like. That's like one of the only companies that doesn't use a social media presence, right? So yeah. That could might stand out, you know?
I feel like a lot of like the woke people will be like kind of supportive you know. But yeah.
Yeah.
You have any
other also stuff? Yeah, I have some good news actually. So vaccines are now available in Waterloo for kids aged 5 to 11. And they should be available by this Friday, I think.
Hey, that's pretty nice.
So it looks like people would be, like, we could probably vaccinate most people by the new year, I would think.
By the new year, like, yeah.
By the new year, which is good considering that cases have been, like, going a little bit off.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause from 2 weeks ago, it was 492. That it rose to 579, and then today is 675. So that's not really, it's kind of worrying, but the fact that we have the availability of vaccines for like a wider age group now, that's a good sign.
Yeah, it should definitely curb the transmission, hopefully.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Let's talk about did you hear about the Christmas parade in Wisconsin? Was it Wisconsin? Yeah, Wisconsin.
I heard of that. Well, I heard of it, but I don't know much details. Like, what happened for it?
So basically, a 39-year-old man named Darrell E. Brooks, he basically just drove his car into like a Christmas parade, and he killed like a bunch of like elderly women. And then injured like 40 people, and I think there's like 10 kids in the intensive care unit right now.
Holy.
And yeah, it's not.
That's crazy.
Yeah, there's no real details on like his motivation as of yet. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like I saw videos. Like this guy's just full on thinking he's playing in like GTA and just driving straight.
Wow.
Into a. Yeah, it is weird. It is weird. I'm not...
It's so messed up.
I wonder if it has any connection to, like, the Kyle Rittenhouse thing. I doubt it, but, like, they both... Wisconsin kind of thing. Because one was in Kenosha. Mm. And this one's in...
Yeah.
It's called... Waukesha. Waukesha? Waukesha. That's, I guess there'll be more details on that story in the future, in the coming...
We should probably discuss the Kyle Rittenhouse case, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That was a really controversial issue. So do you know what exactly happened in the case? Because I know that, like, he was found not guilty on everything, which is, like, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, so I haven't been, like, following it too deeply just because I don't know, it doesn't really interest me, just because it's like I kind of knew he wasn't gonna be found guilty, just because the trial was in Wisconsin and the judge is like a well-known kind of like national, like I guess nationalist would be like maybe not the right word, but you know, just one of those white Americans. You can, if you just look at him, you can kind of tell that he traditional American. And that in combination with the prosecutor who is trying to prosecute Rittenhouse just completely lost it. Like there's a video, he literally like took out a AR, whatever, like a
rifle
in the courtroom and was like pointing it around. Like pointing it.
He took that out in the courtroom.
Yeah, he literally brought a whole, I don't know if it was fake or not, but he brought a whole rifle and it was just like pointed in the courtroom. And then there's another video of him and the judge like having like a literal like screaming match in the courtroom where the judge is just, I've never seen a judge like actually scream at a guy, but like the prosecutor was saying stuff like, please sir, like would you let me finish, like, you know, stuff that you probably shouldn't say to, like a judge, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm not surprised that he was found not guilty.
That sounds ridiculous.
Yeah.
Because honestly, apparently he was pleading that he was using self-defense. And so that was what was difficult for the prosecution to determine, was whether he did not fire his gun in self-defense. Because, I mean, obviously, if it was that a protest, right? Like, it's kind of easy to, like, fall back on that self-defense thing, because you could have argued that, oh, like, it was very chaotic and he didn't really know what was happening and that he was just, like, trying to protect himself. But then the thing is, like, with an AR rifle, really? I don't know. That seems like a lot.
Yeah, and the people were unarmed, too, that he killed. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. Like, exactly. I don't think he, like, killed them, like, to kill, you know what I mean? Like, I think he probably partially did think that they were coming at him, but, like, bro, you're the one with the gun, you know?
Like, exactly, like, shoot them.
Run away, you know?
You know what I mean?
I know, everyone's like, oh, he got free, but, like, realistically, that man's life, unless he, like, changes his identity, that man's life is over. Yeah. That man's life is over, like, unless go ahead.
Sorry, according to the law in Wisconsin, self-defense allows an individual to use deadly force when they reasonably believe deadly force or serious force that could cause great bodily harm or death is about to be used against them. So that was why it was challenging for the prosecution to convince the jury about that, because if it's a protest, like, emotions are really high and everything's really, as I said before, like, super chaotic. So that would have been a real big challenge for them to show that it was not, in fact, self-defense, you know?
Yeah.
Although I guess the fact that he, like, went into the protest on his own accord is kind of sus. You know, like, that would seem like it would count against self-defense, right? Because if you purposely put yourself in that situation and you, like, go out looking for people, like, looking to protect property, that just seems like you're going out looking for a fight, you know?
No, yeah, honestly, like, you're going to travel, like, across a state to go, like, prevent vandalism? Like, why do you care?
Why do you care?
At the end of the day, like...
It's like...
No, go ahead.
Literally, why?
Yeah.
No, I was just agreeing with you. It's like, literally, why would you do that?
No, I know. It's ridiculous. And it's also, like, Americans value, like, their property over, like,
mm-hmm.
social justice. You know
what I mean? That's the three people's lives who were lost, you know?
Yeah, you know, it's like, I don't support looting, but, like, I also don't, like, if a Target is being looted, like, I'm not against that, you know? Like, it's a Target, you know what I mean? Like, it's a Target, it's a McDonald's,
big deal for them.
It's a Mercedes, you know what I mean? Like, who cares? At the end of the day, these are, like, billion-dollar companies. Like, obviously,
they're companies, and they have insurance.
Yeah.
So, like, it's like, why do you care?
Yeah, there's some small companies for sure that definitely got damaged, but I feel like the majority of what was looted, because, you know, people are looting, like, a Best Buy because they want a TV and this and that. People are probably not going to loot like a mom and pop, like, restaurant. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. what are they going to get from that? You know,
people tend to, like, use protests and stuff as a cover to do illegal activities, and then it's just overall negative, because obviously, one, illegal activities, and two, it's like the protesters get blamed when they're literally just peacefully protesting. Yeah. And then there's, like, those people who just use any excuse to break the law, you know?
Yeah, I know. It's just a whole stupid America is dumb. But, yeah, I guess
so messed up.
Moving on, this is probably, I think, one of my last stories that I have. So basically, as I'm sure many of you know, because we covered this a lot last year, not so much this year.
Mm-hmm.
There's kind of like a civil war in Ethiopia. Not kind of, like, there's a full-on mm-hmm. civil war in Ethiopia. And it's basically between the government and, like, this one ethnic minority, the Tigray region, the Tigray Liberation People's Front, the TPLF. And so basically, what makes this story kind of more interesting than, like, your typical civil war, so there's seemingly, like, five civil wars all the time, you know what I mean? But basically, the government, like, the prime minister, he won a Nobel Peace Prize a year before he started the civil war. And so,
wow. Did they take it away?
I'm not sure if they took it away, but they probably did. I don't know. But So, yeah, he's basically invaded like this region in Ethiopia and accuse them of like attacking government forces, which is not true. Like, it's hard to say because like there's like a blackout, like a media blackout in the whole north, like the region, so it's hard to like really understand. But yeah, basically they've been going back and forth. It's been a huge crisis. It's been really kind of eye-opening just because he won his Nobel Prize like in 2019, I think. And so basically this prime minister, I think as of today or yesterday, he made a statement on his Twitter saying that he's going to like lead the country's army from the battlefield starting today or starting on Tuesday.
Oh.
So he's literally like joining the forces on the ground, which is probably like the last peace Nobel Peace Prize like category anyone could get, is leading an army of people into a civil war.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so apparently, and this is kind of like his attempt at like galvanizing like regular Ethiopians to like fight alongside him. And it's just kind of crazy. Like, who knows if he'll actually be on the front line? Like, he used to be a soldier before he became prime minister, so I wouldn't be surprised if he just joined the forces. But yeah, it's kind of crazy. So keep your eye open on that.
Yeah, for sure.
One more story just to kind of wrap us up. So as I was talking about maybe like last week or the week before about that like Poland-Belarus like border issue. So what's very interesting about it is I was reading this piece earlier today, and I think it was Al Jazeera, and a lot of the migrants who are like kind of trapped at the border, people kind of assume that they're like a caravan or that they were smuggled, but a lot of them actually flew to Belarus with like travel agents and visas.
So they're legal.
Like fully legal, like fully, like, you know, like not like like dirt poor like caravan people who have no choice. Like, these people like sold their belongings to buy a plane ticket and apply for a visa. And just because of like politics between Belarus and the EU, they're literally being pushed back and forth between the two borders and honestly being treated like animals, which is ridiculous in my opinion. And yeah, I was reading this thing about this family of Kurds from Iraqi Kurdistan, and they sold everything but their house just to be able to go. And then as soon as they got there, the Iraqi government kind of flew them back because they didn't want tension with the EU and Belarus. So they came back and all they had was like their house, but no furniture, no coffee maker, no computer, you know what I mean? And so it's like, imagine selling everything you have.
And you only have like a cell of a house.
Yeah, like they're selling everything they have just to go get abused and then come back. You know what I mean? Like, it's crazy.
Yeah.
It's really, really crazy. But
really sad.
Yeah. Keep your eyes open on this. This is a developing kind of like day by day story. But that's kind of all I got.
I think we can end here because my voice is kind of going since I was sick last week.
Thank you everyone
for joining us. And we'll see you all next week.
Adios.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye.
Stay safe.